So today's first and gospel readings show us two people who are coming to terms with their sins. However, they do it in different ways. King David is convicted by the prophet Nathan, whereas the nameless woman appears to be undergoing this inner conversion. So I'd like to look at these two different approaches to getting to the same result. So let's first start with King David, who was convicted by the prophet Nathan. So imagine you are the king. You have absolute power. With the snap of your fingers, armies are deployed. Servants jump, and you hold the lives of your subjects in your very hands. As wonderful as this sounds, Lord Acton correctly warned us when he wrote, "Absolute power corrupts absolutely." This is what happened to King David. He allowed his power to corrupt his judgment, and eventually that would lead him to commit murder. As a result, God sends the prophet Nathan to go and convict King David. I don't know about you, but I'd be terrified to have to go and convict a king, because with one snap of his fingers, you could become the recipient of a neckectomy. However, Nathan is faithful to God's will, and he very bravely and courageously, as we heard in today's first reading, lays out all of the charges against King David. I can only imagine when he finished, his heart was racing. What happens now? But King David says, "I have sinned against the Lord." He accepts responsibility for what he has done. He comes back and repents. There's a beautiful process that he goes to, receiving God's forgiveness and being put back into right graces with God. In today's gospel, we also see repentance, but this time it's coming from an inner conversion. David had someone assist him, where with this woman, it seems that there's something brewing inside of her. The gospel tells us that this woman is a known sinner. So whatever she did was both grave and public. Although her sins appeared to be known by all, no one in today's gospel is convicting her. Notice that she's the one who knows where Jesus is. She's the one that goes to Jesus. Something has obviously changed in this woman's life. She must have reached the point where she said, "I cannot go on like this. Something has to change." Something allowed her, the Holy Spirit, to understand that Jesus was the source of forgiveness, the source of grace, the source of love. And we see the outer signs of her inner conversion. We see her weeping. We see her tears. We see her humbling herself at the feet of Christ. I can only imagine at first those tears were the tears of sorrow and repentance. But I also think as that grace flows back into her, as she feels the effects of forgiveness, as she feels that presence of love incarnate right in front of her, that those tears turn to tears of gratitude and tears of love. So we can see that being convicted by another and an inner conversion are two ways to the same end: the recognition of our sinfulness, this beautiful encounter with Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of our sins, and a return to a state of grace. Now, in my life, I've experienced both conviction and conversion, as I'm sure most of you have, but let's talk about it a little bit. Conviction, because it involves another person, we all know can be a little tricky. We all know how hard it is to both receive and to offer correction. One of my friends once said to me, "If you want to see a fight, get in between an alcoholic and his alcohol." I've had the pleasure of being there, and look out, no holds are barred. But this goes for all sins. We sin because we like them. We get some illicit pleasure from them. We think that it's a good thing. But we all know that the person's not ready to face their sinfulness, that the messenger will not only be shot, but hung, drawn, and quartered. We've all been there, right? But keep in mind, during this year of mercy, the third spiritual work of mercy, which is admonishing the sinner. Remember, Nathan admonished the king. So to correct a person who is sinful is an act of mercy, because you want to bring them back into right relationship with God. You want that forgiveness and that love of God to come back in that person. I remember when I was in college, I was not a very good Catholic. And after one three-day tear, I remember one of my friends just walked up to me and got in my face. And like Nathan, just listed all of the charges against me, right? And when she was done, I was like, guilty. There was no defense. Everything she said was true, and everything I had done was wrong. And it was this conviction that was a slap in the face that said, you need to do something about your life, or your life is not going to be around much longer. Looking back, I really see that she was speaking prophetically to me. She was a prophet of God speaking to me, trying to get me to wake up. And she did. And I believe that she was part of helping to save my very life. Since that time, I've started a journey of conversion. I wish I could stand here today and tell you that I've become a saint since that day, but you all know me very well. And sometimes it's three steps forward, two steps back. Three steps forward, two steps back. The ways of the world, the challenges of ministry, even myself get in the way. And there's times where other prophets have to come in and continue to poke and say, guess what? But when I look back from that person I was in college 25 years ago to today, sometimes I think, maybe I need a DNA test, because I'm definitely not the same person that I was. And that's true, but I am the same person. And it's been a beautiful journey of conversion. Now, I'd like to share with you some of the tools that have helped me to grow into the person that I am today. Not perfect, but striving to do God's will every day. I'm careful about what I read, what I watch, and what I listen to. Because if I take a bunch of garbage into myself, I become a garbage can. But if I'm doing spiritual readings, if I'm watching wholesome entertainment, then I allow that beautiful voice of God to come into me through many, many different ways. I take part in the sacraments, especially confession. If you don't remember the story of David, how he ended up murdering Uriah, it started with a lustful look. He saw Bathsheba. He found out she was married. He should have stopped. He didn't. He called her over. Things happened. He should have stopped. He didn't. The act they took part in came to its natural end. He should have provided for. He didn't. So eventually what happens is that little sin grew and grew and grew and grew. And next thing you know, he's calling for the murder of an innocent man. This doesn't mean every tiny sin we commit is going to end up in a capital offense. But I think it's a wonderful warning that no sin is too small to address or confess. Then, of course, there's peer pressure. Peer pressure isn't just for teenagers. It's for all of us. I've had a couple conversations in my life, as both before and during the priesthood. I'm talking to people. I said, you know what? I think you need to get new friends. They kind of look at you, right? Because they start talking about what their friends are doing and the activities. And I don't really want to do that, but all my friends do it. And I'm like, you need new friends. And that's hard. That's hard sometimes when you have to walk away from someone that you've known for years and years and years. Doesn't mean you never talk to them again. But it means like, well, you know what? If you're going to do that part of your life, I'm going to stay home, right? Sometimes we do have to walk away. All my drinking buddies from college, there's only two I keep in touch with. We get together once a year and they buy me dinner when I go home to visit my family. But where are all the others? Where are all my party of friends from high school? Even with Facebook, I can't find them. No, I can find them. I can find them. So we have to be careful who it is that we're surrounding ourselves with. Doesn't mean we have to be boring. Not at all. I love life. I love having a good time, a good laugh, 2 weeks ago, went to a wedding reception. We danced the night away. We had a great time. But it was true fun. It was wholesome fun. It was godly fun. So today's readings remind us that God wants to give us his forgiveness, his grace and love. But we have to be open to change. Change will come at times from people convicting us. When this happens, no matter how much it stings, if what they're saying is true, we have to say, God has sent this prophet to come and speak to us. And I have to listen to what God is saying through that prophet. And we also have to be open to that interchange, that beautiful way of saying, okay, God, every day in my thoughts, in my actions, in my deeds, in my words, everything I do, I want to be good and holy. So conviction and conversion are two ways for us to continue to follow in Christ's footsteps, continue to be those vessels of his love, mercy, and forgiveness.